Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Pinckneyville. Not Pinckneyville. Pinckneyville.
Yeah, I kind of stuttered there. Yeah,
me too. I did too. I thought you were making fun of me.
Yeah, that would be a little weird, I guess.
Yeah. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning, and I really want you to go enjoy it today. Because today, Strange Brew is giving back to the Palmer Home. It's our Palmer Home Radiothon on Super Talk. 20% of any sales at the Starkville, Tupelo locations, or at Churn and Spoon, or online, go right back to the Palmer Home. We really need y'all's support, and you can do it by just buying a cup of coffee. So if you're going to be in Starkville, if you're going to be in Tupelo today, and you need a cup of coffee, you want to go stop by and get a sweet treat at Churn and Spoon, or you just want to order it to be shipped to your door, when you do so, it helps out the Palmer Home. StrangeBrewCoffeehouse.com is the website. Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. If I tried to list everything that they can do, that would be the whole show. That guy, GGKKXXGF, he would be really mad if I spent the entire show telling you everything that Pip Printing and Signs can do for your business.
That guy is so angry at our show, but he constantly gives us five-star reviews.
Which, that, you know what? He's taking advantage of a great deal.
It kind of falls in line with the people that complain about everything we talk about on here, but listen every single day.
Don't care. Yeah. Did you click on the show? Yeah, I won.
They love us.
I won.
Even if you hate us, you love us.
Yeah. Yes. So as I was saying, though, you know, he's taking advantage of a great deal. You can do the same thing with Pip Printing and Signs, because when you give your business to Pip Printing and Signs and you tell them, hey, heard about it on Thunder and Lightning, they take 10% of your sale and give it right back to the Bulldog Initiative in your name. That means the Bulldog Initiative benefits, your business benefits with great printing, and Pip Printing and Signs, it's going to make that happen for you. So give them a call today at 601-499-5216. That's Cam Baker's number. He will take care of everything for you. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for, and you are looking for it, guys. You are thinking that, hey, I need to get some new gear for this football season. The place to get it is at College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, flow by the half shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. I'm going to go ahead and bring Restaurant Tyler back in. They're open for business on Tuesday of next week. So time to bring them back. Don't sleep on Ben 612, though. You definitely want to go check that out if you haven't already. But it'll be great to have Restaurant Tyler back open. Need to go by there and grab a blue plate, the best blue plate in town. Great selection of meats and veggies, cornbread that even Brian Haydad can get behind. It's just a fantastic stop for lunch. One of my favorite places in this city. So go check it out if you haven't already. Head to Restaurant Tyler for one of the best blue plates, not only in the city of Starkville, but in the entire state of Mississippi. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi here to serve you. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. Let them show you not only, you know, what you can expect from them from a service perspective, but what you can expect from them from a money management perspective. It's not just about a checking and savings account. This isn't just an old-timey small-town bank. This is a big financial institution, but they treat their customers like they are that small-town bank we all know from our youth. Again, 16 locations means there's one near you if you live in Central Mississippi. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. All right. Let me show you something here real quick, Robbie. I think you'll enjoy it. I know this is an audio medium, but Robbie gets to see. Hold on one second, Robbie. I'll be right back.
We have a A gift bag.
All right.
We have a little gift bag.
Well, this is for our friend Richard Cross.
Oh. Oh, yes.
Got a Bulldog got a Initiative pullover.
Yes.
And polo. Let me see if I can get this. Yeah, see. Bulldog Initiative. Very nice.
From Maroon & Company.
Yes, from Maroon & Company. But there's a couple. First off, I think they gave us three of these, so I think there's a couple for you and I in here as well. We got some of these awesome new tumblers.
Ooh.
With the Bulldog Initiative. This is that Wild Gear tumbler with the bottle opener on the bottom there. That's pretty cool.
But yeah, I don't know if you saw – did you see their tweet yesterday of all the stuff that they have, like all the tumblers?
I did, yeah. It's incredible selection, yeah.
Man.
This, though, is the coup de grace for Richard, though. Look at this bad boy right here. Look at this rope hat.
Bulldog Initiative rope hat. Does Richard – is he a rope hat guy?
He's going to be tomorrow.
Wow. This is excellent. And he's going to have his Yeti tumbler. No, it was the
Wild.
The Wild.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Cannot wait. They have the setup that they have. If you go look at the Maroon & Company's Twitter, the setup that they have right now of Yeti, like coolers and tumblers and stuff, is insane. I don't know if you can find anything like this anywhere else.
I got to say, it's not as sweet this year, not having the Egg Bowl in my back pocket, right?
Yeah.
But especially like last year was total domination. I got the Egg Bowl. I got both men's basketball games. I got 3 out of 4 in baseball. I mean, it was just the dominance. This year, I had to scrap and claw for everything, and I don't have the Egg Bowl. It's not as sweet, but better him than me. I'll say that. I didn't know what to be wearing. I tell you this, bottom of the ninth inning there, when Hunter Hines lined that ball and Will Furniss snagged it, and I was just looking at two outs with Mershon on third, I was like, I look good in red. I'll be all right. And then Connor Hyzak saved me. Connor, if you're listening, I want to thank you. I appreciate you, man. You saved me some.
Haydad was going to show up dressed as Colonel Reb.
I was going to come as Colonel Haydad. That was going to be my plan.
Oh, man.
Old times there would not have been forgotten. Let's talk about some new times at Mississippi State. And I thought we talked today. There's so much focus on the transfer portal, and obviously there should be that. You know, sometimes like high school recruiting gets lost in the shuffle. I wanted to ask, like, who do you think are going to make some impressions this year from this recruiting class? We've got some JUCO guys that I think will, from a freshman perspective, who are those guys? Obviously, the first thing you do is you circle those three wide receivers, right? Burnside, Harrell, and Craver. We did an exercise,
and they got more than that actually. But those are probably your
McGee, yeah.
That's probably your best bet is those three.
So we talked on Sports Talk about, and we did it on this show as well, about the most important players, right? Not necessarily most valuable or best stats or whatever, but most important. And I had to do 10. And I put Stonka Burnside on there because I just came to the conclusion that State fans just need to see one of these guys be really good right from the jump. You know, A.J. Brown was good as a freshman. Metcalf, he got hurt as a freshman, but you saw the talent. Moncrief was good early for Ole Miss. Treadwell was good early. State needs one of these guys to just be a big part of the offense, and I think Burnside's the most likely candidate. I think physically he's the most ready to do that. You know, and this is a guy you've seen play for the past few years over at Starkville High. Can he come in and be a very early – and when I say contributor, I mean a guy who plays every game and is getting catches in every game. Can he be that kind of player?
Yeah, he can. The physicality that you mentioned is probably the biggest reason is physically he looks like he could play whenever he was in high school. And you can usually see it. When guys are in high school, you can kind of see it that they are guys that could translate that to the SEC pretty quickly. There's a lot of guys that look – they have the build, or at least, you know, you can kind of picture them growing into something, kind of like a Benardrick McKinney type.
Mm-hmm.
But for Stonka, he was basically already there last year. Now obviously, you get in the weight room, and there's some things that you need to tone up and things like that. But when you saw him on the field, he popped. That's usually when you know you have an SEC guy. You see him on the field, and they just look bigger, faster, stronger than everybody else. And that's what he looked like. And I don't think he's quite in A.J. Brown territory, but there were times last year where you look out on the field and you're like, I remember A.J. looking like this against his peers. So that would be my pick right there out of those three. I think J.J. probably needs a year. I don't know if he's ready just yet. Craver, I could see making an impact. Stonka, I would be shocked if he doesn't. I think you have so many receivers in that room, but we saw a lot of him in the spring game and in the spring. It would just be a surprise if he is not making his impact in year one. And, you know, other than that, I don't know how many freshmen will get on the field this year.
Yeah, when you look at this class, I mean, you don't ever expect offensive linemen to be immediate contributors outside of the elite, elite guys. Now, I've talked to a couple of people at State. They love Jimothy Lewis, and they know they'll tell you that, hey, he's going to be a star. But I don't know if that's going to be this year. Obviously, mm-hmm. Michael Van Buren, whose last name is Van Buren, I found out.
Yes, we all found out that his last name is Van Buren.
So, yes. But anyway, don't expect to see much of him this season, if at all.
If you do, you're in trouble.
With true freshman quarterbacks, it's always one of two things, right? Either what you said, you're in trouble, or he's so talented you can't keep him off the field. And I don't think that's the case. That seems unlikely.
Yeah, well, if he's playing, it means that your starting quarterback went down. Blake Shapen.
Yeah.
And it probably means that Chris Parson either got hurt or he's not going to pan out at all.
Yeah.
If he's already surpassed him, you know.
So don't expect much from him. I don't expect Xavier Gayton to make a big impact this year. I think he's a good athlete and he can be a player for State in the future. But this year, I don't know. What's funny about talking about this, though, Robbie, is that if these guys come in and they don't play this year, they automatically start looking around for the next stop. Right. Mm-hmm. Like there is no, well, I'll just take a couple years to develop. I mean, I would just go ahead. I mean, a guy like Xavier Gayton right now, if he doesn't make a contribution this year, I mean, I would put him as, I know I'm saying I know anything. I'm just saying that it won't surprise me if he's in the transfer board. That's just the nature of the game these days.
Well, with him, I think it's a little different because he was a guy that was labeled an athlete, and that's exactly what he was. We didn't know if he was going to be, you know, the last staff looked like he was going to be a safety. This staff, it looks like he's going to be a running back. So you can kind of sell him on the fact that, hey, we see your potential. Get a year under your belt. Learn the system. Get ready because next year we're going to need you because we're losing some older guys. You can kind of sell him because that room's going to clear up too after next year. You're losing most of that group next year. You know, Pittman's going to be gone. I guess Devon Booth will be gone, Kevon Lee. So you're losing three guys. He's going to have a chance to compete right away next season. And being a Mississippi guy, too, I think helps as well. So I wouldn't throw in the towel on him at all if he doesn't play this year.
Just going through this, you know, Hibbler is a guy. I don't see him making much of a contribution this year. McGee, I mean, again, as a receiver, maybe could be that guy. TJ,
that's Walker. Another one that's just like we don't, you know, we kind of projected, could he be a safety? Is he going to be a wide receiver? You know, out of anybody that we're not talking about right now at that receiver position, I would say Ricky Johnson is a guy that could surprise. Late pickup for Mississippi State, was a Stanford commit. So you know he's really smart. He probably is going to be able to pick up the game pretty quickly. On this level, it's just kind of the physicality of it. Can he handle it? Mm-hmm. That's a guy that I have circled as one we haven't talked much about, but I could very easily see him just coming out of nowhere. It wouldn't shock me in the least. A lot of these guys, too, are, you know, you start thinking about it and like, well, we're not talking about a bunch of high school players. That class must not be any good. I don't think it's that. I think State went pretty heavy in the portal and in junior college to try to get some older players in there.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of guys that we're not mentioning are JUCO guys, transfer portal players.
I was going to come back to those guys. Yeah. I was trying to just get to the freshmen here. But you're right. I mean, from a JUCO perspective, obviously Tyler Woodard is going to compete for a starting spot in year one. I think Johnny Daniels competes for a starting spot in year one. Brandon Jennings is going to be in the two deep for sure. Sean Shepard, I don't know. We'll see. Brylan Lanier will probably be a starter for Mississippi State this year. Marcus Ross is a guy who could be in the two deep, I think.
I think just about every JUCO guy they signed is going to be a two deeper.
Yeah, like, maybe, I think they're all going to. Corey Clark getting here so late in the process.
Yeah.
Maybe not, but maybe he could be a squad guy. But Jennings, Lanier, Woodard for sure. I won't be surprised if all three of those guys are starters at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And you mentioned Jimothy Lewis too. I think Jimothy Lewis is going to be very similar. I'm not projecting where he's going to end up, but just what Elton Jenkins was as a true freshman,
mm-hmm.
where he was like borderline getting on the field. They dressed him out on the road. I think that's going to be Jimothy Lewis. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he plays this year, but I think – and I do think that he's going to play up to four games. It would surprise me if he's not dressed out and getting some playing time this year. And, you know, games where they're settled fairly late or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like he's a guy that is going to be like Elton Jenkins was in that 2014 season, I think it was, when they were dressing him out. He was going on the road, and you could kind of see the trajectory for him. I guess, was it 15? It was 15.
15.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that year, I remember John Hevesy and some of the guys talking about, you know, this guy's going to be really good. And we were like, the guy that came in at the last second? I mean, yeah,
that's what he was.
Sean Rawlings going to Ole Miss, you don't get Elton Jenkins. And immediately he was making that kind of noise. And he wasn't an early enrollee or anything like that. I mean, he came in the summer. So I think that's what you're going to see with Jimothy is like he's a pest at practice. You know, he's a guy that's really making waves with some of the guys on the defensive line, but not quite ready. And by next year, he kind of makes that jump. That's what I
agree.
Predict.
Yeah. Like right now, you know, Pounders could come back, but I mean, if he has a great year this year, there's chances he goes ahead and goes into the NFL. So Jimothy Lewis might be in line to be your starting left tackle as a redshirt freshman. We'll see how that goes, but he will definitely be a big part of the rotation next year. But this year, probably not so much. So when you look at this class, yeah, your best freshman contributors are going to be your receivers, no question about that. Then you've got three or four JUCO guys you think could make a big impression this year. Is there a dark horse guy in here? Somebody we're not talking about that, you know, you mentioned Ricky Johnson. I guess it could be him. But mm-hmm. Is there another player in this class that you're thinking maybe could come out of nowhere a little bit and be a player that, you know, that at least is a game-to-game contributor?
On the freshman, it's kind of tough. I mean, yeah. I find it, like, very intriguing. We don't really talk much about Josiah Knight. You remember he came in like late in the process. State got him late, and because he had some things not work out as far as his eligibility or something. And that was a guy that was, you know, considered a four-star on our site, our network, and was basically a high three-star on everything else. Edge rusher guy. You know, he's got a good build to him. Is that a kid that just kind of comes out of nowhere? I mean, could be. They definitely need some guys on the defensive, you know, front seven. So, you know, maybe him. I'm interested to see the development of Kai McClendon, because another guy that was kind of unheralded, but one like late in the process, it was a lot like Calvin Dinkins and guys like that, where mm-hmm. he just kind of blew up late, and maybe not blow up is the word, but became more of a hot commodity late in the process.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had some teams coming after him late and could be a guy that, you know, by the end of things is a really good lineman for you. He played both sides, really kind of switched over, I think, to the defensive side late in the process. I'm interested to see what happens with him as well. I mean, he came in early, so he's got a chance to get a little more instruction, a little more time in the weight room. We'll see what happens with him, too.
Yeah. There's some guys to watch for sure in this class. You got some guys who I think will make big contributions year one, and then you got some guys who can maybe make some smaller ones, and then you got the guys that, if they stick around, can be a part of the future. On paper, it's a solid enough class. We'll see how it all pans out. You know, we'll go the Dan Mullen round and we'll talk about it again in 5 years. One day we need to do that, by the way. We need to do a show where we go back 5 years. Let's look at that class and pull the Mullen out and evaluate, like, I guess it would be the 2019 class at this point for Mississippi State.
I used to do a breakdown like that just about every year.
We should do that
classes when they're like 4 years down the road.
We'll do that when we come back from media days. We'll try to put something together.
We did do something like that last year. That's whenever wasn't Mississippi State signing class. It was the in-state classes.
Yeah, when we had the argument about Jerrion Ealy and Channing Ward.
Yeah, that's right.
Channing Ward definitely a bust now because he's the head coach at St. Andrews, so I can't stand him.
Is he the head coach?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Channing Ward, I couldn't like him any less. He decided to go to the high school I like the least, too. Jeez.
What do you have against Aberdeen?
No, nothing about Aberdeen. St. Andrews.
I know, but you said you couldn't like him, you know, any less than that.
I didn't care about him at Aberdeen.
Yeah.
So.
Well,
let's move into
I found it interesting that Mullen, like, he didn't care about the rankings unless they fit, like, his agenda. Like, it was good for Mississippi State. Then he cared about the rankings.
Yes. Well, it's the same way he was with injuries. Like, he did. Yeah. He would tell you about the injuries sometimes. Let me see. Oh. So, a couple of days ago, I texted Bill Martin because I wanted to see about getting Josh Heupel at SEC Media Days, right? The last time he had texted me on something that Ross Dellinger had tweeted about, the Big Ten announces the implementation of game day availability injury reports, each blah, blah, blah. And he just sent it with a quote that said, Harry Parker won't play. And I sent back, Harry Parker, out.
Dude, it was 2013 when he ran off that whole list.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Justin Malone tore his ACL in the first game. No crap, Dan. He hadn't played all year.
Tobias Smith out. Like, wait, we've seen Tobias Smith on the sidelines with a clipboard in his hand. He's a GA.
Yeah.
What are we doing here? I joked with Tobias last year. We had Tobias on the Catfish Tour. I was joking with him about that, like how Dan had, like, basically thrown him under the bus saying he was hurt or whatever. And he wasn't even playing that year. He was like graduate assistant or something. It was insane.
That's just funny. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council. We want to remind you that beef, it's what's for dinner. How was your pot roast?
Oh, I had some for lunch, too.
So good. Mine was so good. Came home, you put it in the crock pot, and you're just like, well, you know, I assume it'll be good. Get home, and like, I'm open the lid, and I got my meat thermometer out, and I'm not really worried about the temp. I just want to see. And I need to talk about just slides through, like, got it. Got
the love with about
and started pulling it and just fell apart.
I love with about 30 minutes left on it, just like kind of pulling it apart and letting it cook a little bit as it's pulled apart. Juices get in it. Oh, man.
Good stuff. So
I wish I would add a little more gravy on it, a little more au jus.
Yeah.
But it otherwise was just about perfect. It was so good, man.
That could be you. That could be you. You could be enjoying a delicious Mississippi pot roast today with Mississippi Beef. Head to your local grocery stores, your butcher shops, your meat markets. Talk to those folks there. They've got the great deals. They've got great cuts of meat waiting for you to pick up. Enjoy it at your next cookout, your next family dinner. Or, hey, if you're just going to head out on the town, enjoy a steak at one of Mississippi's great steakhouses. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you want. You want to get it. You want to take a bite out of those smoked wings, those pork rind nachos. I didn't go full Brian Johnson there. The prime rib sandwich, those are the things that you want to eat. So go do it. Go enjoy a great trip to Two Brothers or head over to the older brother for a fancy sandwich for the croque monsieur, the Reuben, the muffaletta. They've got fantastic food there, open for lunch Tuesday through Saturday and dinner Thursday, Friday, Saturday at the Older Brother. Whichever one you choose, you're going to get a great meal in the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it now for 49 years. 49 years of taking care of their customers, 49 years of delivering you fantastic products, and 49 years of being there for you after the sale. Simple as this, guys. If you want to buy technology, you can buy it from one of the big brands and hope for the best if something goes wrong, or you can call Advantage Business Systems and know and have that assurance that the service is there after the sale. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. We were talking about it earlier, Maroon & Co. If you want to get Bulldog Initiative gear like Richard Cross will be wearing later today at the Palmer Home, the only place to get it is at Maroon & Co. And of course, they have an incredible selection of Mississippi State gear, stuff you cannot get anywhere else, anywhere, because they have it and nobody else does. And of course, we're going to save you a little money. Thunder15 is the promo code. In-store or online, you can use that code to save 15% on regular priced items. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go to Davis-Wade Stadium this fall, you need to go to Maroon & Co. Opponent preview day here on the podcast. Let's just jump right into this interview. And I'll go ahead and give you a quick disclaimer. If you're not a fan of the English Premier League, skip the first 60 seconds of the interview. Here's my talk with Jackson Fuller, who covers the Arkansas Razorbacks for the Southwest Times Record. We're back on the opponent preview series. We're to the Arkansas Razorbacks. Our friend Jackson Fuller joins us from the Southwest Time Record. Plenty to talk about with the Hogs, Jackson. But first, and we'll just have to take a little trip off the beaten path here. I found out after our last interview that you're a Chelsea fan.
Yes, sir. A big one since 2008. So
you got me beat on that. So, and you've been to Stamford Bridge?
Yeah. So last year or 2 years ago, I did a master's degree in London. So mm-hmm. I got to be a crazy fan and go spend all of my budget pretty much on going to Chelsea games.
You said last year?
I covered before the last football season. So 2022 to 2023.
Oh God. So you got
I got the worst year.
Bad times. Give me 30 seconds on the new gaffer. And what do you think? Are we finally going to see some stability and some continuity in West London?
I don't know. I'm not confident on stability ever in West London. Sure. I like what I've seen and read about Enzo. I prefer his style of play to Pochettino's, like more controlled and everything. Mm-hmm. I think Chelsea fans though in general don't like they kind of love the chaos that you know I don't know Mourinho and some other guys did, but yeah, you know, I think that we're starting to see the talent really develop, and that's super exciting that these young kids are starting to potentially turn into really reliable players, and we got Cole Palmer, so I'm optimistic about the season. Stability, I don't know, if he loses three matches in a row, the fans are going to be
fired. Yeah. There's no question about that. All right, I will make sure to put a disclaimer before this interview airs to if you're not a soccer guy, to just skip through the first 60 seconds and just let me get through my little passion project there. Let's talk about the Hogs. I mean, I'm not alone in saying I'm not high on this team. I just don't know how they're going to do this year. I worry about Sam Pittman long-term there. And it starts at the quarterback position because – Bobby Petrino's offense to me has always been so quarterback driven. If you don't have the right guy there, the things just don't come into place for what he wants to do offensively. How does Taylen Green fit into this system?
Look, I'm going to drop a name that I probably should not drop, and I'm not saying Taylen Green is anywhere near as good as this player, mm-hmm. but I do think there's a chance we see an offense that looks similar to what Bobby Petrino ran with Lamar Jackson at Louisville, where it's trying to get this guy who is just a freak of nature athlete for a quarterback. We didn't really see it too much in the spring just because there were no tackles, but there were times where it was like, okay, I'm scrambling, and when he gets into space and those long legs start going, it's like, whoa, this is not only like a fast quarterback, it's one of the fastest players on the entire team. So I think and I say Lamar Jackson just because that Louisville team, I mean, he was such a good passer, and he is, you know, he's a terrific passer. He's an NFL quarterback, but I think there's going to be a heavy emphasis on using the quarterback in the run game. I don't really have any proof of that because, like I said, there was no tackling and we didn't see him run too much in the spring. But I think that's the route for this team to exceed his expectations. Is you really have a good dual threat guy. And if he starts running the ball well, it makes life easier for the running backs as well. You know, opposing linebackers and defenses have to worry about the quarterback running. So I'm with you. I'm not like super high on this team. I think I'm higher than other people are. But I do think like with Talen Green, that's kind of, you know, the ideal is like we get a quarterback who can do damage with both of his, with the arm and his legs. And the offense is, you know, I just think naturally the offense is going to be better than last year because it was one of the worst offenses in the country.
Well, if they are going to be better this year, one of the guys who's going to have to give them a boost is Jaquindon Jackson, the transfer from Utah. When he got the ball at Utah, he was very good, almost 800 yards rushing a season ago. He's averaging close to 6 yards per carry for his career. I think about what Rocket Sanders was able to do in that Arkansas offense. Can Jackson give them that kind of running back?
Yes, I think so. I mean, he's talked about how he was injured last year at Utah and played through the injury, which means that maybe there's an even higher ceiling than what he's shown. It was a foot injury. But I also think Arkansas is pretty high on some of the other running backs they have, where like with Rocket, I think he was like the undisputed number one. And that could happen with Jackson, but they really like this freshman, Braylon Russell. Rashad DeBinion's been around the program for a while. He's a great pass catcher out of the backfield. They went out and got a transfer from Florida State. I think it's going to be more of a running back by committee approach than maybe it was with Rocket. But I think, you know, the key for the entire offense is going to be that offensive line. I mean, if they have to play better than they did last year, and I think they will, and they've got some really, you know, some talented transfers in the fold. If that offensive line is playing well and Jaquindon does kind of become the number one back, yeah, I could see him put up numbers similar to Rocket, but I think it's going to be a more diversified attack this year.
Well, you hit on my next question with this offensive line. There's some experience there. They brought in some transfers, but they brought in some transfers who have played, and in some cases have played Power 5 football. Is this going to be a good enough group up front to deliver, again, that Petrino offense with what they like to do? I know that they can't withstand being weak on the offensive line.
Yeah, Brian, it's going to be better than it was last year. I don't think there's any way it gets worse, and that's automatically going to be a boost. Can they be an average offensive line? I don't know. In the SEC, will they be like the 6th, 7th, 8th best offensive line in the SEC? Probably not, but I think that needs to be the goal. Fernando Carmona, he transferred in from San Jose State. He's going to play left tackle. And I mean, all the defensive linemen and the offensive linemen just raved about this guy in practice. He's going to be the foundational piece. I think he's going to have a great year. I trust Addison Nichols at center. He's gotten some snaps playing time at Tennessee before coming here. But really the other three guys, I'm not 100% certain on. I think there's potential for this group to be pretty good, but after what we saw last year, we got to see it to believe it. I think maybe the biggest offseason addition was Eric Mateos, the offensive line coach from Baylor. He's a Sam Pittman, you know, disciple, and kind of got his career started under Pittman. And from what I've heard and what I've seen, I think he's going to be a huge upgrade for that room and help the offensive line hopefully play a lot better than they did last year.
6 games a season ago, this team gave up more than 30 points. Interestingly enough, they have one game where they only gave up 7 points, but they still found a way to lose. I don't ever want to relive that day. What's the identity of this defense? You know, since Barry Odom has gone, they've taken that step back. What is this defense going to be in 2024?
Yeah, you know, last year was such a strange year for the defense because you're right. You read out the numbers and it's like and points allowed and stuff, and they look like a very below average defense. But then you kind of dig into like their, like how many yards they allowed, and they were pretty good in that number. I mean, then they held Ole Miss, one of the best offenses, to under 30 points. Really took it to Alabama. They fell off at the end. I think the identity of this defense is going to be that defensive line, and particularly outside on the edge with Landon Jackson. I mean, he's projected to be a potential first round pick. That's a big reason he came back for his senior season, was to boost his draft stock. They've got Nico Davie and Anton Junkaj on the other side. I think if that defensive line can get pressure on the quarterback and create sacks and pressure, they've got a chance to be pretty good. They definitely need the linebackers are the biggest question mark. I mean, they have like no experience there at linebacker. They went out and got a couple transfers, a former five-star recruit from Georgia, Xavier Sori. You know, so potential there, but it's another got to see it to believe it situation. This just no snaps at all in that linebacker room. So that's kind of the biggest concern for me, but I am optimistic about this defense. I think that they played better than maybe some of the final scores said last year. And then until they kind of just fell off at the end against Auburn and Missouri.
This game, you know, where it sits on the schedule, what it means to both of these teams. I feel like this is the game that the winner of this game can go to a bowl. The loser is not going to a bowl. The margins are just that thin in this series this year between these two teams. Do you feel the same way? Is this the swing game of the season for Arkansas?
Yeah, I think I'm actually like planning on writing a story this week about like the three most important games for Arkansas. And I think that it's very clearly Oklahoma State, Texas A&M, and Mississippi State. There's, I think, a couple weeks in between all of those games. So it's like, you know, a good time. But, you know, by the time we get to Mississippi State, if I think Arkansas has to win one of those other two, the Oklahoma State or Texas A&M games. Otherwise, I don't even know if they might be out of bowl eligibility by that time if the season goes how a lot of people think it's going to go. But yeah, I agree with you. I don't see a way where maybe both Mississippi State and Arkansas are bowl eligible at the end of the year. If that happens, then some of the other SEC teams have really had disappointing seasons. You know, it's going to be interesting. I think last year Arkansas was the more talented team and Mississippi State won on the road. This year, I think Mississippi State might be a little bit more talented, but it feels like it's been a weird series in recent years. I could see it really going either way, but it's going to be an early morning kickoff right in Starkville. You're right. It's going to be a very, very key game for both teams. I think Arkansas fans will just hope that by the time late October comes around, they are still, you know, have a shot at bowl eligibility.
We were talking about this a lot on this podcast and on Sports Talk Mississippi about how when it comes to like SEC media, for some reason, Arkansas gets the benefit of the doubt over Mississippi State almost every year, despite the fact that I think State's won 7 of the last 10 in this series, and State has finished ahead of Arkansas, I think, 7 or 8 of the last 10 years. And yet, I would be almost willing to guarantee next week when we're in Dallas that Arkansas will be predicted ahead of Mississippi State in the rankings. But I do agree. I think State is the more talented team this year. It is in Starkville. So we'll see how that goes. That game, though, yeah, from my perspective, if Mississippi State doesn't win that game, they're not going to go to a bowl game. That's just as simple as that for me. So, Jackson Fuller, Southwest Time Record, thanks for joining me, man. We'll talk in Dallas next week. We'll definitely have to catch up with Eli Letterman and put him in a locker, that Tottenham fan. We don't like him.
yeah, no Spurs, no Spurs good times with me. So
sounds good. Thanks, man.
All right, see you, Brian.
All right, I don't want to hear any complaining. I told you all, say skip it if you didn't want to hear it. We talked a little. He's a Chelsea man, Robbie. So,
well,
that excites
that's
you.
Great.
Okay. Is Arkansas Mississippi State's most important game of the year? It's either Arkansas or Florida, in my opinion.
If they want to get to a bowl game, it's pretty big. Most important? I don't know.
I feel like Florida might be number one because I think State should be 3-0, right? They should win their first three games. That means you should have a really good crowd for that Florida game. Should be exciting. If you're 4-0, I mean, even though you know it's like, okay, we know what's coming up the road here with Georgia and Texas, you at least have that moment of excitement in the season. Plus, if you're 4-0, you feel really good about your chances of getting at least two more, right? Especially when you have UMass on the schedule. It's really just about getting one more, and that one is likely to be Arkansas. So one of those two games to me is those are your swing games of the season. I you can grade them however you want, but you got to win those. Those are the two games you have the best chance of winning, I think. Arkansas, and I asked Jackson about it, and I'm like, yeah, why is it that Arkansas gets the benefit of the doubt? I just don't know. I know that, you know, we're going to talk about media days tomorrow. I just know that Arkansas is going to be picked ahead of Mississippi State, and I just don't understand why.
Yeah, last year it was for me like, why does State get picked last every single year? Because they hardly ever get picked. They hardly ever finish last. And this year, my gripe's going to be getting picked behind Arkansas every year. I don't understand. It's just, to me, just kind of lazy work by people that just kind of throw teams in there. And Arkansas is viewed as a better program than Mississippi State, I think, in outside circles, and probably from a resource standpoint as far as money and everything, they are. But from a production standpoint, they're not. I mean, if you can go back to whenever Bobby Petrino left, which now, you know, Bobby Petrino and Houston Nutt kind of look like anomalies for this program dating back to, you know, the 1980s, I guess. But, I mean, this team has consistently been at or around the bottom of the SEC. Since 2013, they finished last in the SEC six, seven times.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what to – I don't know what else to tell people. They don't deserve the benefit of the doubt anymore.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think State gets – that's one game I think State's going to get for sure, is beating Arkansas. For, I believe that would be the eighth time in 11 matchups that State's gotten the win over the Hawks. So, all right, what's our next opponent preview? Well, I don't know it off the top of my head. A&M. So we'll do that. We'll have to put that together because I don't know what our schedule is going to be like for next week, but we'll figure that out as we go. All right. Tomorrow's show, we're going to preview SEC Media Days, talk about who's headed to Dallas from Mississippi State, some of the storylines we're interested in finding out about, and a few other things as well. So that'll be tomorrow's show. Guys, have a great Thursday. Back with you on Friday. Don't forget, on Friday, Robbie and I will be in Bay Springs, Mississippi at Big O Seafood for the final stop on the Thunder and Lightning Summer Catfish Tour presented by Superior Catfish. Talk to you guys on Friday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.